Today's story is about a medical doctor who wanted to kick Padre Pio. Well, what did Padre Pio think about this? We're going to investigate this with a little story. Hello, I am Edward Urban, and presenting this YouTube channel Following Padre Pio, in which we investigate the absolutely amazing life of the Capuchin monk and miracle worker whose intercession is still so powerful today. So if you or a family member or a friend is in need of Padre Pio's help and intercession, then do follow this channel, and we hope that you will be amazed to find out what Padre Pio can do for you. If you're new to this channel, then please do share our videos far and wide, and that will really help us in our Padre Pio apostolate. But of course, you must also subscribe and like the video, click the thumbs up. Getting back to our story. Now, there was this fellow called Alfredo. He was a practicing Catholic, but he believed that saints were people who only canonized way after their death. So you cannot meet a saint in this life. That was his theory. So he approached St. Giovanni Rotondo more out of curiosity in order to meet Padre Pio. And he planned his trip very carefully. He wanted it so that there would be the absolute minimum number of crowds there in St. Giovanni Rotondo so that he could observe the priest more carefully. And he chose the date, the 2nd of November. That seemed a perfect day for him. But it was All Souls Day. And it turns out that Padre Pio was a famous for his intercession for the souls in purgatory. So the crowds just arrived. They poured in for this day, as it's known in Italian, Il Giorno del Morti. And they converged on the friary. So Alfredo had taken the train to Foggia, and then he caught the bus from Foggia to San Giovanni Rotondo. And he arrived there about midday. He thought, well, I'll be able to go to confession maybe later this evening. You can imagine his surprise when he learned that in order to have his confession heard, he had to make a booking. And there was a queue, a full week long. This was in 1950. And there was nothing to it. Alfredo just had to wait this week, and then he would have his confession. That gave him plenty of time. In fact, he was quite resourceful, and he was going to make the most of his time. And that evening, he attended Vespers. That is the evening prayers. And, of course, Padre Pio was there. About an hour after confessions, Padre Pio descended the stairs from his cell down into the sacristy. There were only a few people present here at this stage, so Alfredo had a very good opportunity to observe Padre Pio very carefully. So Padre Pio entered the sacristy, and he proceeded to speak to a certain gentleman standing nearby. And as soon as this man saw Padre Pio, he went down on his knees, and he kissed Padre Pio's hand, obviously as a sign of reverence and respect for the priest, but also because Padre Pio had the stigmata on his hands. Now, Padre Pio, in preparation for Vespers, went to a little bowl of water where he washed his hands. He had gloves on, so really he just washed his fingers because the gloves were covering the stigmata. He didn't like people to see or to know he had stigmata. As he finished, the same gentleman hastily took out a handkerchief from his pocket and presented it to Padre Pio. And Padre Pio dried his hands with the handkerchief and gave it back to him. And then he kind of folded it up and put it back in his pocket. Shortly thereafter, Padre Pio exited. And then this gentleman took the handkerchief carefully out of his pocket and folded it very carefully and placed it like a valuable treasure in his attaché case. Alfredo was watching all of this, and he was growing more and more curious, because what was happening? And the man, seeing Alfredo's curiosity, walked over and introduced himself and said, "I will explain everything to you after Vespers." Well, after Vespers, the mysterious man met Alfredo in the piazza, in the square in front of the church. And this is his story. He said the following: "Now, I will satisfy your curiosity by telling you my story." And so our story within our story begins. It turns out this man was a medical doctor who had been to St. Giovanni Rotondo every week for the past 6 months, and that he intended on coming back, keeping returning to St. Giovanni Rotondo until the hospital was finished, at which point he would remain behind in St. Giovanni Rotondo permanently, dedicating his life to the sick and the suffering in this hospital that Padre Pio was building. In fact, this doctor's home was in Rome. He had a medical practice there in Rome, and his family, they came from a kind of a tradition of doctors, we could say. His father was a doctor, and he was a doctor, and he had a nephew who was studying to be a doctor, but both his father and him were non-believers. Yet, there was certainly a goodness, a Christian streak within in this family, because the very first thing he remembers his father teaching him when he reached the age of wisdom was that he must always and unconditionally help and assist those who suffer in any way, be that materially or morally. Very good foundation. But at the same time, the doctor of the story was a confirmed atheist. So what was he doing here in St. Giovanni Rotondo? And the doctor, he was single, and he lived in the same apartment block, same apartment complex, as his elder sister, who was married and also had a son. So the sister and brother-in-law were practicing Catholics, but he was quite happy that they kept this all to themselves, and they did not involve him in any religious conversations. And in fact, it was to the point that he did not even know what the inside of a church looked like. Can you imagine that in Italy, where there's so many beautiful churches, such beautiful works of art in the church, and he didn't know what the inside of a church looked like? His sister's 21-year-old son, Massimo, was studying to be a doctor. He was a third-year medical student, and he was following, obviously, in the footsteps of this family tradition. And about 8 months ago, tragedy struck as Massimo started complaining about severe headaches. And the doctor initially ascribed this to stress and overwork in his studies and exams. But the headaches continued, and they just got worse and worse. So then Massimo was sent for blood tests. The blood tests were all normal. This continued, however, there was no improvement in Massimo's condition. So he was sent for an EEG, that is an electrocardiogram. And this revealed that Massimo had a brain tumor. So this was just devastating. At this stage in his life, it was a terrifying reality, and Massimo was then sent to a specialist in Switzerland who just confirmed exactly the same diagnosis. Next, he was sent to a well-known doctor in London, and there he was subject to another battery of tests and radiographs, all sorts of things. The result was exactly the same diagnosis, except that Massimo now had only 3 or 4 months to live. They returned to Rome, and Massimo's uncle tried to cover up this whole situation by prescribing extra strong painkillers. And he told his sister, no, Massimo's all right. He just needs the right treatment. Well, of course, because of these extra strong painkillers, there was a slight improvement in Massimo's, you know, condition. It appeared to be getting better, but underneath the surface, the cancer continued unabated. And at this point, Massimo had given up his studies, and his physically he was just wasting away. So he was now confined to the bed. And it continued. And then the cancer attacked the optic nerve and destroyed the optic nerve. And Massimo, little by little, he became blind as well. So you can imagine Massimo's mother now. She was absolutely desperate, and she turned in prayer. She had devotion to all the saints, and she turned in prayer to them. And Massimo's uncle continued to visit Massimo daily, just trying to inspire some hope and courage in Massimo. Massimo's uncle was then obliged at one point to attend a medical conference in Milan. And while he was away for a few days in Milan, Massimo's condition just worsened, and suddenly he was experiencing these sharp shooting pains that were so bad that he could no longer stand. And Massimo's mother called in another doctor. The other doctor arrived and he looked at the x-rays and he looked at the results of the test and he knew exactly what was going on. So he let Massimo's mother know, and for the first time she became aware of really how desperate this situation was. And he told her that science in this particular situation was impotent to help. He fortunately was practicing believer, practicing Catholic, and he told her a miracle was her only hope. And that, he said, they still happen today, even though most people are unaware of them. The doctor told her she must pray because Massimo needed prayer right now, even more than medicine. So Massimo's mother had a special devotion to a Saint Gemma Galgani, who I believe was also a stigmatist, also from Italy. And she took a statue of Saint Gemma Galgani and she put it under Massimo's pillow. Well, Massimo, of course, by now, he was really wasted away. He was practically a specter, and it looked like death was just waiting around the next corner. The uncle returned from his conference, and he was a little bit upset that another doctor had been called in, but he kept quiet about that. However, when he found the statue of St. Gemma Galgani under the pillow, he went absolutely ballistic. And apparently he behaved like a wild beast, raging against his sister, and he left absolutely infuriated. Now, we must remember, of course, at this stage that he was a confirmed atheist. So this was against everything he believed in. When he returned that evening to see his patient, he witnessed something else, an incident, as he describes it, of alarming fanaticism. And what was this incident of alarming fanaticism? Well, 10 members of their family had gathered together. They were fervent Catholics. They had gathered in his bedroom, stood in a circle, put a cushion in the middle of the floor, and Massimo was kneeling on the cushion. He was not strong, so he was supporting himself on a chair. And they were praying. They were, in fact, reciting the rosary for Massimo's healing. So that is the incident of great fanaticism. And then among this group, perhaps the most fanatical, was a retired army colonel, who was also, as it turns out, a spiritual child of Padre Pio. At the sight of this dreadful gathering, the doctor left the room, complaining bitterly, complaining loudly, because of their religious fantasies. They would not even allow their son Massimo the joy of dying in his bed. And he continued to vilify the group with all sorts of slanders and comments that they didn't want to hear. But they persisted and they continued to pray faithfully the rosary. Well, at the conclusion of the prayer, the retired military man, he went forward and he said, "Now let us offer a particular prayer to Padre Pio, asking him to intercede with the Lord for what I am about to do." And he said, "I have a handkerchief that the saintly friar used a while back." And he used it to wipe his stigmatized hands. "And with this cloth, I'm going to cover his head. And then God will do the rest." So that's what he said. On hearing these words, the doctor stormed back into the room like a madman. Seeing the ex-colonel place the handkerchief on Massimo's head, the doctor turned to the retired soldier, angry and shouting at him. Although he said he had the utmost respect for him, he would like to give both him and Padre Pio a good kick. Guess what happened next? He had barely finished pronouncing these words when Massimo suddenly yelled out, "Mama, Papa, I can see you." And he tried to stagger to his feet. Well, unfortunately, that is all we have time for in this video. I'm sure that you all know atheists and have friends out there who have an absolute faith in their faith of denial. And they expect all of us to follow along and just fall in line and obey whatever their belief is. Personally, of course, One might like to say, and what about the rights of God in this situation? I mean, God created science. Doesn't he have some say, some opportunity? Well, apparently not. And of course, these might just turn out to be very ineffective arguments. So, how did Padre Pio behave? And what did he say? And what did Padre Pio do? Well, you're just going to have to watch the next video. And right here we have our most popular videos just for you. But also, there is the video on which you can enroll for your Mass Preintentions in order to follow our Padre Pio apostolate.